Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we're here with the one and only
Betty Buckley,
who is starring in the Kennedy Center production of Hello, Dolly! This month. Thanks so much for joining us.
Nice to meet you, Jason.
Thanks. Now, first I want to start, when you hear Hello, Dolly! I know you're probably prepping for the role, know that it's coming up this summer, and then you hear that Carol Channing passes away in just this year, wasn't it?
Well, we're doing the national tour of the Broadway production that won something like 8 Tonys or something, that closed last August, I think. And we've been on the road since September, and we were in San Diego, opening in San Diego on a Tuesday, and that morning we heard that she had passed away. And so we were all very moved by that. And there was an actual poster with photographs of her where she had done one of the touring productions of Hello, Dolly! And the big poster and photos were on the wall right next to my dressing room. So we had a little memorial ceremony there before the show. And I gave a curtain speech. And, she was...
What did you say in the curtain speech?
Just what a force she was in theater and how singular her performance as Dolly had been, and what a unique and wonderful actress, comedian she was, and the legacy that she's left, and that I could only, could never fill her shoes, but do the best I can do, and she was a legend. It was amazing.
Yeah. How do you, I mean, that's so iconic, and, it's on everyone's brains now with her passing, but how do you make the role your own, or what do you love about, what's so juicy about playing this matchmaker?
Well, Dolly Levi, as I've learned, is, she's a very unique individual, and she's full of love, and her husband has passed away 10 years prior to the moment of the musical. The play was actually written by Thornton Wilder, the matchmaker, and it was based on a European play, which was happened in the 1920s, and Wilder wrote the matchmaker in the 1930s, and then Michael Stewart adapted the book in the early 1960s with the Jerry Herman score. And the book really is very, very accurate to the play, The Matchmaker. So it's about this woman whose husband has passed away 10 years previously. And she makes a living, catches catch can. She does everything from short distance hauling to teaching guitar and mandolin to varicose veins reduced to ears pierced or pierced ears replugged. Or, her greatest skill is that a matchmaker. She has a real intuitive ability to put people together rightly in relationships, and all she wants is for everybody to be happy. But she's decided on this particular day that what will make her life better is to marry the half-a-millionaire Horace Van de Gelder. And so she states that that's her mission in the first scene, and then the rest, all mayhem breaks loose as she tries to accomplish her goal. It's a beautiful, fun, joyous evening. This new production has been directed by Jerry Zaks, who's a genius director, and fantastic.
Multiple times.
He's one of our great directors, and our producer is Scott Rudin, who's one of the greatest producers in Broadway history.
And Hollywood.
And the choreography is by Warren Carlyle, and the design is by Santa Laquasto, the lighting by Natasha Katz, and it's just a glorious, beautiful, fresh interpretation of the show, the likes of which I think no one's seen. And our ensemble is like our dancing, singing, acting angels, and my leading man, Lewis Stadlin, is one of the greatest actors and comedians in the business, so it's been awesome.
It's going to be a real treat for all of our listeners and DC theater fans to come see. I mean, you're a legend of the stage. I mean, come on.
Thanks, Jason.
Oh, don't feign. You know that you're... No. We'll remind them, you were in the original production of Cats. What was it like when you found out? Because for a long time, it was the longest... Wasn't it the longest running show ever? Mm-hmm. What was it like when you found out that Phantom finally beat it? What's Cats' legacy?
Cat's Legacy, it's just one of the great musical theater pieces of all time, and I was really honored to be in the original New York cast as the lovely Grisabella, who's a great, great character, and sing that great song, Memory.
Is that the role most people come up on the street and say, hey, you were Grisabella?
Oh, I don't know that people really come up to me much on the street. I look pretty pretty innocuous in, as a human being, as you're, as I'm just passing by. Sometimes people at a department store or something will recognize my voice when I speak, which is funny, from my television work or film work, or, and then on other occasions from my Broadway work.
Was that, when you first heard about that production, the idea of everyone dressed with cat ears, and like, did you think it even had a shot? Like, that seems so off the wall.
No,
and
no,
in hindsight, it's a staple, but
no,
at the time.
It was a huge hit in London, and there was this beautiful cast album that had been released of the London cast, which, you know, featured the glorious voice of Elaine Page, who's a brilliant musical theater legend in her own right in London, in the British theater. And everybody, the ardent musical theater devotees, had the cast album and knew the music forwards and backwards, and were ecstatic to learn about the production coming to New York. And some of us hadn't traveled to London to actually see it. We had the photographs from the cast album. But discovering exactly what it was part of the mystery of it, and part of how it was marketed in the beginning as well.
You mentioned it just a few seconds ago. You know, people remember you from TV, Ain't Is Enough. Just memories real quick before
and Oz and various other shows that I've done. And most recently, Preacher, the third season. I played a really evil Cajun sorceress in the AMC wonderful hit show Preacher, opposite Dominique Cooper and Ruth Negga and Joseph Gilgun. And I've done a lot of films, too.
Say a word about Dick Van or Van Patten working across.
He was a lovely man, and I was very fortunate to get to work with him. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. And then the movie roles go on and on. I mean, I remember Frantic.
Yes.
Love that was an exciting
Harrison Ford
little thriller. Yeah.
Carrie.
Of course, that's what I really wanted to get. That was your breakthrough.
Yeah. That's my
Miss
first.
What? Are you the? It's the gym teacher.
Miss Collins, the gym teacher. Yeah. Yeah, and that was my first movie.
Yeah. Talk about what I mean. You're like the one sympathetic character that her Piper Laurie is. Horrific, but you're sort of the one she leans on at school. So.
Yeah, she's tremendous and was an amazing actress that all of us knew about, and we were thrilled to work with her. Of course, the great Sissy Spacek, and then there were seven of us making our film debuts, including John Travolta. It was directed by the great Brian De Palma, and it was a really exciting cast to be a part of. We had a real energy about us because we knew that we were doing something special, and so when it became this classic cult hit, we were like,
And there's something crazy. That was actually my parents' first date.
Oh,
was
whoa.
Seeing Carrie.
Amazing,
so,
they're still
full
together.
Circle. Oh yeah, going strong. But before I put a pin in that, were you there for any of those crazy, those famous De Palma shots? You know, there was that big figure eight tracking shot during the prom about.
Yeah.
The openings, in the period, the steam shower, slow motion. But what was that? That figure eight thing must have been hell on set, but beautiful to watch.
No, we were all fascinated because we knew who he was, and he was watching a master film director at work. It was very exciting to be a part of his team and, watch him create his magic. It was a special time.
Yeah. And then just real quick, a word on After Carrie. I mean, Tender Mercies was also huge. But just memories of that movie.
Well, I was, it was divine. I had done Ain't Is Enough for 4 years, and that was like a difficult job. It was like working in a factory and learning about big business, show business, and producers that were, like to remind people that they were owned by the mob. And it was just, kind of a weird experience. So it was like going to school in big business, show business, And in the meantime, I was studying acting, taking Stella Adler's script analysis class and stuff in Hollywood, and traveling back to New York every 6 weeks for my voice lessons to try to grow as an actor, singer. And at the end of the Ain't Is Enough experience, 4 years, we ran 4 years, 29 episodes a year. So it was an intense time period. And then I was doing a musical called Getting My Act Together and taking it on the road at the Huntington Hartford Theater at night in the end of my time in Ain't Is Enough, and doing shooting in the day. And there's a brilliant casting person in Hollywood named Fred Ruse, who was also a producer of The Black Stallion, which is one of my favorite films, and produced and cast many of Coppola's movies.
Right.
He had seen me do Getting My Act Together in New York, and he had called me into his office and said he would be sure that I worked in film, that I was one of his actors, and that really was an incredibly wonderful honor for him to say that, because he has been responsible for the careers of some wonderful actors that I've really enjoyed a lot in the business. And he called me early that following summer and said, Betty, I'm sending you a script by Horton Foote, who's one of the all-time great American playwrights, they want a country western, someone who can sing country western, who's a really good actress, and I gave them one name, go get the part. Sent over the script, and I remember I lived in a suite at the Chateau Marmont Hotel, and I sat down and read the script and wept at its beauty, the sheer beauty of the script. And he says, and it's starring Robert Duvall. And, so I went to my audition with Bruce Beresford, and he said, can you act? And I said, yes. And he said, can you sing country western? And I said, yes, I'm from Texas. He said, do you want this part? And I said, yes. And he said, well, you come highly recommended, it's yours. So I was like, what? So that same year, I shot Tender Mercies that year, and then got Cats and went into rehearsals for that. And then
just
we,
two minor productions.
It was like that October we opened in Cats, and then in November Tender Mercies was released, and it was. And then the following spring, I won the Tony for Cats, yeah. And it was.
And Robert Duvall won for the Oscar, I think, too,
yeah,
right?
So you're
winning.
Oscar.
He's winning that, and you're winning.
And the song I sang in the movie won the Golden Globe. I sang it on the Golden Globes, and it was also a nominated song and in for the Oscars, and so it was one of the greatest career years of my life, and. I felt like both those projects, Cats and Tender Mercies, were like my master's thesis after I'd been to big business, show business,
sure.
And filmmaking school.
Right.
And It Is Enough. So it was kind of wonderful.
Done all the different mediums. Is it just real quick in closing? I know you grew up in Texas and eventually made your way to Broadway, mm-hmm. but is it true that you landed 1776, like right as you got into town?
Yes.
What's that story?
Well, I had this agent that signed me when I was a junior in college and kept encouraging me to come to New York, but my father didn't want me to go. So finally, the agent arranged a job for me that took me to Philadelphia. And then he said, you can come into New York. I have another six-week job for you for doing this. It was called an industrial show, but it was like a musical helping to sell a product. And this one was for Gimbel's department store in the old days. And he said, but I have an audition for you, you know, here as soon as you get to town. So I took my music and went down. I didn't even know what it was for, and I sang, and they cast me, and we went on the road to New Haven and then Washington, and then came back, and we're the big hit that spring in New York, which was 1969. But it was because of this wonderful agent named Roger Hess, who's now a big Broadway producer and still one of my dear friends. So it was just a glorious kismet of circumstances, and you know, I've been very blessed.
Well, I wish we had time to talk about all of them, you know, Pippin and Drood, but I want to bring it back around to Dolly for sure.
And I've got some lovely albums out. My most recent is called Hope, with an incredible band of musicians I've been working. The one before that, last year, was released. It was called Story Songs. And when I finish Dolly at the end of August, I go back doing some concert work on the West Coast and then some forthcoming concert work in 2020 as well. So I'm excited to get back with my band and do some new material. It'd be really fun.
Awesome. Well, everybody keep an eye out for the albums. Yeah, what else you got?
Well, M. Night Shyamalan's movie Split, I was one of the co-stars of that with James McAvoy.
Yeah.
It was...
Well, you did The Happening with him first, right?
Yeah.
And then Split. Yeah.
And Split was one of the biggest international box office hits of 2017.
Yeah,
that's been most fortunate. So I've had a couple of good years.
I'd say. All these years. But it's no one can... It's rare to find someone that can dominate, you know, stage, screen, and you're releasing an album. And, you know...
I don't know if you'd say dominate, but, you know, I've been a very blessed actor, singer, and... you know, I feel fortunate. I'm turning 72 on July 3rd, and I feel really fortunate. The past couple of years with Split and Preacher, and then to go from playing this, like, mad, crazy woman on Preacher, which was so much fun. We shot in New Orleans, so it was, like, one of the greatest jobs I've ever, and one of the greatest crews and teams of creators that I've ever had the good fortune to work with. And to go from that to work with Jerry Zaks and this glorious company and Lewis Stadlin, in Hello Dolly, it's been incredible, you know, past couple of years. And the tour of Dolly, you know, we've been doing it for 10 months. it's still so fresh and so beautiful, and the audiences have been so joyous every single performance. It's been a remarkable gift and great, great blessing in my life, and I'm so grateful to Jerry Zaks and to Scott Rudin for, you know, trusting me with their incredible production.
Awesome. Well, again, everybody, come check it out. Hello, Dolly, at the Kennedy Center. Betty Buckley. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Jason.